Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Modes. I'm your host, Rachel Premack. Today, we're going to be discussing a new barge crisis. So for those of you who are in the know on barges or a longtime Mode subscriber, last fall, I wrote about how Mississippi River levels were so low that farmers and manufacturers couldn't move their wares. A lot of our grain, soybean, and coal that the U.S. exports is actually moved by barge. We can get a picture of the article up for those watching at home, for those who are not on their listening via podcast. The headline was, "Latest Supply Chain Crisis Could Threaten Global Stash of Food and Energy." All right, so that was October of last year. We had unusually low Mississippi River levels. Now, less than 6 months later, we've got the opposite issue. The river is unusually high. It's wreaking havoc on the barge industry yet again. So we've got a great guest here to talk a little bit about this, Mike Steenhoke, the executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, is going to walk us through what's going on. Mike, welcome to the show.
It's happy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you wrote in your latest newsletter that many of the Mississippi River locks between St. Paul, Minnesota and Quincy, Illinois, they'll be closed until the first or second week of May. So you also kind of noted that it's not really a peak season right now for barges. So what is being moved right now? What sort of impact do you expect this shutdown of barge traffic to have on the agricultural industry?
We hope it's going to be pretty short lived. Now, you know, as you mentioned, this is not the peak time for exports for soybeans or for grain. You know, usually, you know, you have sometimes almost 10 times the amount of exports occurring during a month like in October or November compared to this time of the year. So it's not that critical window of opportunity. There's still clearly are that soybeans and grain do move southbound via barge during this time of the year, but it really isn't the acute, you know, period. There is a considerable amount of northbound fertilizer shipments that occur, and a lot of that originates down by the Gulf of Mexico, makes a northbound journey to a number of these terminals along the Mississippi River or other rivers, and then they get offloaded and then trucked to like a grain elevator or a cooperative where it's distributed to farmers for their planting season, which is obviously right now. So that's going to be more of the impact is on fertilizer shipments. But what we're seeing with the river levels at a lot of these locations on the Mississippi River is that, you know, we've seen the peak, the crest for some of these areas, like in Wisconsin, Minnesota, northern Iowa, northern Illinois. We hit that crest earlier this week. You're seeing the crest occur, you know, further south, you know, right now, and then that's just going to continue to proceed. So hopefully this is going to be short-lived, but obviously it all depends on any kind of additional precipitation that we may receive. But I think right now it's looking pretty favorable. Seeing a lot of these locks opened up maybe within over the next 7, maybe 10 days.
And is there any reason why it is that fertilizer moves northbound? Or I mean, it makes sense why fertilizer is moving northbound, but any reason why it's delivered during this kind of late spring, early summer season?
Yeah, you know, obviously a number of these companies that distribute fertilizer, and a lot of times they're farmer-owned cooperatives or grain elevators, they might source all of that in advance of the spring planting season. But the spring planting season is when you need to have a lot of fertilizer application or prior to planting. So it's natural that you would have that kind of movement of fertilizer northbound during this time of the year. A lot of the locks that are located, you know, north of like Quincy, Illinois, Hannibal, Missouri, that kind of area, the kind of north of St. Louis, further on north, they're typically closed all the way up to Minneapolis, St. Paul. They're closed from December to March due to cold weather, and that's a time for the Corps of Engineers to do maintenance work on a number of these locks and dams. So once it reopens, which is typically in March, there is this kind of surge of transportation of fertilizer during this time of the year. So you know, that's why you do see a lot of that movement heading north.
Okay, interesting. And I read in there's one Reuters article from April 27th. They wrote about how the closures of these locks, quote, will force grain and fertilizer shippers to find alternative, potentially more costly transportation by truck or rail. So how much does it cost to move something like fertilizer via truck or rail, and who ends up paying that extra fee?
Yeah, you know, it really kind of depends upon what kind of arrangement you have with a railroad or where you're specifically located. But for, you know, a lot of these locations, you know, that especially if you're located within a 70 to even 100 miles from the river, it's a really efficient way to get your fertilizer, to have that northbound journey via barge, and then it gets unloaded, then it's put onto a truck for, you know, 50, 70, even 100 miles. So that's just the real sweet spot for a lot of these shippers. And then for those who may have to get alternative modes like rail or like trucking, that's usually option B or C. And that's the reason why it's option B or C, because it's usually more costly, you know, for them. So, you know, it really is going to depend on the particular location, but you know, safe to say for a lot of these locations, having to make that shift or that pivot is going to involve additional cost.
Okay. And could you estimate about how much more it costs to move by truck or rail versus barge?
Oh, it really is going to
I imagine it varies.
It really is going to vary. You know, obviously for truck, you know, it's significantly more expensive if you've got a longer journey. Now, you know, most of the mileage will be accommodated by barge or will be accommodated by rail, because those are the two modes that are just really well positioned to move heavy product long distances in an economical manner. And then you rely on trucking to provide that more short haul journey. So it really is just going to depend on the particular, you know, location, you know, how much additional money that you're going to have to spend, what kind of time constraint that you're under. You know, so specifically, it's really hard to estimate, but it clearly for a number of these handlers and receivers of fertilizer, it's going to be costing them more.
And where does this fertilizer that's going to the northern U.S., where is it typically manufactured or made? You mentioned the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, I'm just curious to learn a little bit more about where fertilizer comes from in 2023.
A lot of it is, I mean, there's different types of fertilizer, but there's a lot of that is, it will be, you'll have some of the ingredients that will be transported to the lower Mississippi River near New Orleans. And then because natural gas is such an important component of fertilizer production, and you've got that kind of all those facilities down there, that energy, you know, center of the United States down at the Gulf, that's why you'll see some of that fertilizer production will occur in that area. And then some of the other types of fertilizer will get moved into the Gulf of Mexico. It'll arrive at some of these lower Mississippi River facilities, and then they're transloaded onto a barge. So you can have some fertilizer that's manufactured there, some that's imported, but then they'll be transferred onto a barge, and then you've got, you know, the Mississippi River and the tributaries like the Ohio River, Illinois River, et cetera, Arkansas River. They penetrate into the most productive farm ground on the planet. So then you've got a real natural reach to where that fertilizer will need to be eventually will be need to be applied. So that's why it really kind of, you know, it's a bit symbiotic where you've got, you know, northbound transportation of inputs that are used to produce the crops. And then eventually you've got the crops that are produced, and then they get loaded onto a barge for southbound movement, where they're then released for the export market.
Okay. So dialing in a little bit on the current situation, we've got some charts here on how high these river levels are exactly. So on the Mississippi River at Winona, Minnesota, as of April 25th, it was at 18.7 feet. This time last year, it was around 9 feet. In Clinton, Iowa, it was at 21 feet as of last week. A year before, it was 5 feet fewer than that level. So what's going on to make these water levels so high? And is this a normal kind of uptick for this time of year?
You know, this time of the year, you're always kind of sensitive and have some vulnerability to water level spikes. And that's because so much of the Midwest, particularly the upper Midwest that feeds into these rivers, still has a lot of ground that's cold. And so much of this phenomenon depends upon how the ground is behaving at that particular period of time. At this time of the year, you've got a lot of ground that's cold. And so when you've got precipitation like snowfall, and then you have that snow melt, the ground behaves more like a tabletop and less like a sponge. And so that water gets expedited to our streams and rivers. And then you can have these very dramatic escalations of water levels that we're witnessing right now. So you're always kind of vulnerable at this time of the year. You know, you can have that same amount of precipitation during a warmer month, where then the ground is behaving more like a sponge. So a sizable percentage of that precipitation will be retained in the soil, and then a certain amount will get moved onto our streams and rivers. Right now, it's kind of different because you have so much ground that's still cold. That's number one. You're always kind of vulnerable for that. It's a sensitive time of the year. But then number two is we have had some really significant snowfall in the upper Midwest, like Minnesota, like Wisconsin, over this last month. And so, you know, now you have that snow melt, it really gets channeled right directly into these streams and rivers. And that's why you're seeing these really dramatic escalation in water levels that we've witnessed over the last several weeks.
And is this something that could delay harvesting in months from now? Is this something that could delay planting? I'm curious because we've been doing some coverage of all of the historic rainfall in California and how that's delayed some planting and some harvesting. Could you see something similar happening with this if fertilizer isn't getting to farms in a timely manner? Or do you think this is something that would get worked out down the line?
Yeah, we've seen some delayed planting in some of the northern states, like this doesn't feed into the Mississippi River, but like North Dakota. And then, of course, in areas of Minnesota that do, areas of Wisconsin, where you have had these, you know, even parts of northern Iowa where they're a little bit behind. We are seeing, warmer temperatures. We are seeing that snow melt. And so now you have to have, rainfall can inhibit a farmer's ability to get into a field and plant, but then also ground temperature is really key. Because when you plant that seed, it can't be too cold, because then the seed won't develop and it won't sprout. And so you have to have a certain kind of ground temperature in order for that all to work. And so that's something that's been impeding planting as well. But the good news is that farmers are so good at getting a lot of work done in a short period of time. So no one's hitting the panic button right now. But there might be some areas that, where there are some delays, and that might result in, farmers not being able to get their entire all of their acres in, planted this year. So that's always something that's being discussed. But, hopefully this is something that we can, farmers will be able to get caught up in. We're seeing, some evidence of that. But obviously, it's something that we're monitoring.
And Mike, we've just got about 2 minutes left on the show, but I'm curious, this is the second time in about 6 months we've been talking about Mississippi River levels. Do you think these sort of chaotic ups and downs with the river, do you think that's going to become more common in the coming years?
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to, you know, my crystal ball isn't that sophisticated, but you know clearly it is something that we're seeing. You know, these kind of really significant fluctuations. People understand that, you know, the rivers do have that kind of degree of variability. That's something that, you know, that's kind of like table stakes. If you're going to get and be involved in moving product via the river, you understand that. But having this kind of significant pendulum swing in a course of 6 months, that is quite unique. Obviously, you know, time certainly will tell. But I think it should be just a reminder to all of us that we need to make sure that we are doing everything that we can to have a resilient infrastructure. There's not a whole lot we can do about Mother Nature, what she decides to do, but we can make sure that we do some things to help increase our resiliency so that when Mother Nature does frown upon us, it's not as detrimental as it normally would be.
Okay. Okay. Mike, thank you so much for joining the show. And we will keep an eye out. We'll keep an eye out what's going on in the Mississippi River.
Hey, good visiting with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Okay, lots going on, and yet another barge situation. We gotta keep our eyes on what's going on there. It's interesting because, you know, I'm more steeped in the trucking world, but there's a lot going on with barges. It's really how we export so much of our agricultural goods. It's also how we export things like coal. So always good to keep an eye on it. And thank you all so much for joining me for another episode of The Modes Show.